ജയം ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരാംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ്. നമോഷപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫല സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർസവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ. നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമന തം നമാമി ഹരിം വരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാത്തേഷ്വ വിജ്ഞസ്വരാൺ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാവരൈശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ. നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം ഹനുവേദമപേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാചുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതുക്തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനദോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിനാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ. മനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം കണികാഭികാഭികാവീ. നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ സ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീൻ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ആദേശധാരിണേ. ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീനാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശ യാ സംഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മം മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്രാം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാം പ്രപന്ന ഭാരിജാതായ സ്തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹർ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ഛാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണദടാ ജയദ്രഥജലാ ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സ്വതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തകേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഃ ജ്ഞാനാവസ്ഥിതതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം വിദുസുരാസുരഗണേ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So we were discussing this 21st chapter in the 11th canto. Basically, this chapter telling us about how to differentiate what is good and what is bad, the secret behind that. Good and bad, how to discriminate, how to know that, and the secret behind that. We are looking at that. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham ശുദ്ധ്യാശുദ്ധിവിധീയേത സമാനേഷു വിവസ്ഥിഷു ദ്രവ്യസ്യ വിചികിത്സാർത്ഥം ഗുണദോഷോ ശുഭാശുഭൗ ധർമാർത്ഥം വ്യവഹാരാർത്ഥം യാത്രാർത്ഥമിതി ചാനക ദർശിതോയം മനമയാചരോ ധർമ്മം ധർമ്മ ഉദ്വഹതാം ധുരം. We saw last Sunday that the activities which will develop sattugunam in us, they are considered to be, it says, shuddhya shuddhi vidiyedi samaneshu bi vastushu dravyasi vijigilsartham gunadosha shubhashubhav. So any karmam that creates sattugunam inside us is auspicious. Similarly, in the fourth verse, dharmartham vyavahararartham yatrartham idi chanaka darshidoyam mayacharo dharma udduhadam dhuram, that how to make a decision in certain situations. Krishna is talking about that. All these good and bad things is purely for vyavaharam. So that is why we should never connect this with the realization of the self, that is independent of all these things. As well as, for example, there are restrictions on what we should eat, what we should not eat, what we should drink and what we shouldn't drink. But all these restrictions are based on vyavaharam. That is what Krishna is saying here. For example, in certain instances, certain things will consider to be good, and the same thing will be considered bad in some other instances. That's why he's saying here. Dharmartham, vyavahararartham, yatrartham iti chanaka. Darshidvayam maya acharyo dharma uddohadam dhuryam. He says, for the sake of dharmam, for the sake of maintaining dharmam, vyavaharam purposes, and in order to maintain a certain discipline in interacting with others, for the sake of living in this world, and all for these purposes, certain rules have been laid out. You will see there in the next verse also that Bhumi Amba Agni Anila Agasham Bhutanam Pancha Dhatava Abrahma Savaradinam Shariram Atma Samyuta Vedena Namarubani Vishamani Sameshwabi Dadushu Uddhava Kalpyande Edasham Swartha Siddhaye. Krishna is saying here that time, place, and the results, the cause, the one who is performing the act, these things, Krishna says that I have laid out certain controls on them in the form of good and bad. Deshakaladi bhavanam vastunam mama satama gunadosho vidiyada neyamartam hi karmanam. For example, desham means place, kalam is time, vastu the object. These things has to be looked at while performing a particular karma. So, depending whether that is pure or impure, Krishna will talk about that later. The way we have to understand something is pure or impure is to know all karma is basically meant in order to pull us out from material life, from material activities, maximum possible extent to pull us out from the material activities. That's the first thing we have to understand. That karmam, how does karmam purify a person? If the karmam is taking us out from material life, develops more on the spiritual side, it is helping us to develop on the spiritual path, that karmam is considered to be pure. The goal of all the karmam in this world is to pull us out from material world and material existence maximum, and to withdraw us from that kind of activities. That is the first thing to know. So, shuddhi ashuddhi, that means something is pure or impure, when it comes to karmam, is like this. Earlier we said about gunam, sattugunam. Anything, any thoughts, actions, all based on if it is developing sattugunam inside us, it is favorable. Similarly, any karmam making us to withdraw from material life, that karmam is beneficial to us. So, vyavaharam, laugiga vyavaharam, material transactions in this world, from there, maximum to pull us out from that, that is the purpose of all this. Then he says here, akrishna saro deshanam abrahmanyo ashujur bhaved krishna saryopya sauviram kikada samskriterinam. Then shuddha desham, what is the right place to perform this krishna mrigam? It's a kind of deer. It's not, where there is no such animals, place is not good for performing sacrifices. Particularly yajnam, yagam, all these things are not performed. Similarly, places where there are no devotees, or where there is a place where there is no respect for the devotees, people who are not very respectful to the devotees, such places are not good for performing yajnam or sacrifices. For example, if there is this Krishnamrigam, this deer, present there, but if there are no devotees there, and if there is no proper respect for the devotees in that place, then that place is not favorable for performing sacrifices. That means practically wherever there are more devotees there, such a place is appropriate for performing any salkarmam, any yajnam or sacrifice. So that is the important thing. That is what you have to look at. So before we engage in any salkarmam, salkarmam means yajnam, yagam, homam, all these kind of things. So first thing to look at is there people there who are favorable to all these things? If they are not there, then that place is not suitable. Now, sometimes there may not be such people, there are not people who are very favorable for these things. But even if they are not interested in that, at least if they are respectful to the values or the principles of Vedic philosophy, and even or they are respectful to the devotees, in such cases, places you can still perform the sacrifices. Or practically what Krishna is saying there is that places where people are totally uncultured, who does not have any samskaram in them, and even if there is a deer, that Krishnamrigam is still there, but it is not suitable for performing any sadkarmam, any salkarmam. That is what he is saying there. Akrishnasaro deshanam abrahmanyo ashujir bhavet krishnasaropya sauviram kikada samskraderinam. It says. So, then, the purity of the place, that is the purity of the place, what Krishna is referring to. So, if you say referring to the purity of a particular place means this. First thing is that place should have devotees. Devotees means who are God-conscious people. That's what it means. Who are God-conscious. And even if there are not fully God-conscious people, at least Krishna-conscious people, at least if they are respectful to those who are Krishna-conscious, still that is sufficient. So, desha shuddhi means that either the people around who are living in that place should be Krishna-conscious or God-conscious people. If they are not, at least they should be people who are respectful to the devotees, respectful to the Krishna conscious philosophy, those people. Such places are qualified to have performing sacrifices. So, that is the qualification of the place. So, main thing is that any place where there are a lot of devotees, that place is qualified. Or there are people who are very respectful to the devotees. It can be done here. So such a place is pure. If not, the place is impure, Krishna says. In general, it says that Krishnamrigam, Akrishnasaryo deshanam abrahmanyo ashujur bhavet. Wherever Krishnamrigam is present, those places are okay. But even if the Krishnamrigam is present there, but if the devotees are not there, who are favorable for that, then those places to engage in the salkarmam is not allowed. Is not allowed. That is as far as the place is concerned. Place is concerned. Then the next one is the time. That's what he's saying in the next one. Karmanyo gunavan kalo
ದ್ರವ್ಯದ ಸ್ವತಮೇವ ಯದೋ ನಿವರ್ತದೆ ಕರ್ಮ ಸ ದೋಷೋ ಅಕರ್ಮಕ ಸ್ಮೃದ. ಅಂಡ್ ಕರ್ಮಣ್ಯೋ ಗುಣವಾನ್ ಕಾಲೋ ದ್ರವ್ಯದ ಸ್ವತಮೇವ ಯದೋ ನಿವರ್ತದೆ ಕರ್ಮ ಸ ದೋಷೋ ಅಕರ್ಮಕ ಸ್ಮೃದ.
ಟೈಮ್, ಹೌ ಟು ಮೇಕ್ ಎ ಡಿಸಿಷನ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಟೈಮ್. ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್, ದ ಸ್ಪ್ರಿಂಗ್ ಸೀಸನ್ ಈಸ್ ಫೇವರಬಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮಿಂಗ್ ಸ್ಯಾಕ್ರಿಫೈಸಸ್. ವೈ? ದ ಮೇನ್ ರೀಸನ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಟ್, ಆಲ್ ದ ನೆಸೆಸರಿ ಇಂಗ್ರೀಡಿಯಂಟ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮಿಂಗ್ ಸ್ಯಾಕ್ರಿಫೈಸಸ್ ಆರ್ ಅವೈಲೇಬಲ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಪ್ರಿಂಗ್ ಸೀಸನ್. So generally they say that the spring season is auspicious for performing these sacrifices. Another thing, in a particular place, the place is not very peaceful. There's a lot of disturbance in that place. The time is spring season, but the place is very disturbed. Say due to war, or due to some natural calamity, or anything like that, things can be very easily disturbed. In that case, that time is not suitable for karma. Time is not suitable for karma, because you will never know whether there will be any obstruction for performing a sacrifice. Or it is possible that suddenly a change in the administration happens. A new government comes in who is not favorable for this. Situations can develop like this in this world, isn't it? In such situation also, those karma is not allowed. So even though it is spring season, all the ingredients are available, but if the time is not favorable, so desham, kalam, both. Desham is okay, kalam is okay. But in kalam also, maybe the seasonally it is okay, the time is favorable. But if the other things, like the government, the administration, and the general condition of the people, peaceful state, if that is not favorable, the time it is not considered to be proper to engage in the performing sacrifices there. Then, practically what it says is that these people should be in a peaceful state to perform all these things. Or the administrators of the particular place, they should be favorable for such activities. If they're not favorable, then there is no point. That's what Krishna is saying there. And so, the play, the time, the purity of the time, the shuddhi of the time, the purity of the place, and the conditions existing at that time. Then another thing to think about this also. Suppose those who are performing these yajnam or yagam sacrifices, suppose they have contamination at home due to birth, death and things like that, then they can't be involved in performing such activities till their contamination period is over. Similarly, if there is a disturbance like war or any other kind of disturbances, for example, protests and fighting and all kinds of things happens, then, or the administrators are not favorable, then also it is not possible. Krishna is saying there, ದ್ರವ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಶುದ್ಧಿ ಅಶುದ್ಧಿ ಚ ಇನ್ ದ ಟೆಂತ್ ವರ್ಸ್. ದ್ರವ್ಯೇಣ ವಚನೇನ ಚ ಸಂಸ್ಕಾರೇಣಾಧ ಕಾಲೇನ ಮಹತ್ವ ಅಲ್ಪಾದಯೋಥವ. ದೆನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಕಾಂಪ್ಲಿಕೇಟೆಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಬೈ ಗುಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಬ್ಯಾಡ್, ದ ರೈಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ರಾಂಗ್, ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಸೀ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ವೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಈಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್. ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್, one dravyam, there are, what, for example, water, incense, camphor, or flowers, all these are dravyam for offering worship, for articles of worship, right? Ghee,
There are all different articles for worship. But when one dravyam, one of the ingredients is impure, it can be purified by another ingredient. There is a way of doing that. Say, for example, you're plucking flowers from the garden for the worship. If the flower has fallen onto the ground, if the flower is not fully dried up, we take it for worship. It has fallen from the plant on the ground. But if the flower is not dry, it has not lost its freshness, you can still take it for the worship. But you have to purify that flower with water. So one ingredient for the worship is purified by another ingredient, water. Like this. There are so many things in the articles of worship like this. So therefore, the flower is purified by water. Flower is purified by water. Practically, they say that once it is purified by the water, that even though the flower has fallen onto the ground, it can be used for the worship. Can be used for the worship. But if by chance on that flower, say, the urine has fallen from the birds or from animals or something like that, then that flower is not pure for offering. Even though urine is also water. Urine is also water. So there the flower is become impure by the presence of urine in that flower. But even though urine is water, it's not pure. So these are the so with pure water you can purify that. But if you think that by urine has fallen that it should be pure now, it's not. It's not pure. So one ingredient can become pure or can become impure by another ingredient. Like in this case, the flower can become pure with pure water, but flower can become impure with impure water also. Impure water also. Similarly, if muddy water falls onto that flower has become disqualified for worship. For worship. Krishna is saying, these things are, Krishna says, dravyasya shuddhi ashuddhi cha, dravyena vachanena cha, samskara notha kalena mahatva alpadaya dhava. Then, how do we know something is pure or impure? He says, vachanena. If a mahatma or a great soul says that it's pure, you can take it for worship, then it's pure. That's also there. That's also there. That means their words can make the flower pure. Or anything can be made pure. So even if that particular article of worship is impure, if any mahatma says it's pure, you can use it, then it becomes pure. Their words can change the purity of the article. Purity of the article. That is what he says that vachanena. Krishna is saying there, dravyasa shuddhi ashuddhi cha dravyena vachanena cha. Vachana means their words. That will change it. Then he says, Krishna says, samskarena tha kalena mahatva alpadaya dhava. Samskarena. Samskarena means water, for example, before worshipping the flowers, what they will do, they will mix sandalwood pulp with water and sprinkle that on the flower. That will purify the flowers. Sandalwood water, if you sprinkle on the flowers, they become purified. Then it can be used for the worship. That is what is that called? Samskara. Samskarenatha. You will see when they do deity worship in very trained temples,
very experts in that. You will see them, they will have water available with sandalwood pulp, and they will constantly, they will be touching the water while offering the worship. Why? Because water has got that qualification to purify. So material elements itself has this nature. Water is a purifier, fire is a purifier in that way. So then but say for example somebody has smelled the flower, then it is not, it cannot be used for worship. It's not qualified. If you smell the flower, it's not qualified. So that itself has made it impure. By smelling that flower, it has made impure. Similarly, Krishna is saying, samskarenetha kalena. Kalena means, for example, if you have dug a well, a new well, in a particular place, then even if you have found water, you are not allowed to use the water straight away. At least you have to give 10 days' time before you start using the water from the well for worship. Why I am saying all these things is, imagine in our deity worship here, how much we are restricted by everything. We use pipe water or water that comes in the supermarket with the bottled water, which has been stored in the bottles for days and months together. Is it not? Same thing, flowers plucked in some country, transported by plane, brought here. All these things are, does have an effect on the worship also. Everything looks okay, it is also worship. But when you read these verses, only you start realizing why Krishna is saying all these things. Who has touched the flower? And who has plucked the flower? It's very easy, isn't it, to pay £5 and get a packet of bunch of flowers and give it to the deities. Now I offered you the flowers. It's not condemned in that sense, but Krishna is saying, shuddhi and ashuddhi, you have to look at it from a different position, right? So that's why sometimes deity worship, when you look at all these things, how difficult it is in certain situations to do it properly. So, when the water comes from the well, at least 10 days one has to wait. Similarly, if a cow had a calf, you are not allowed to use the milk straight away. You have to allow the... So at least 15 days, they say, you should wait, because the milk is impure when it comes from the cow after the calf was born. So this is what that verse is talking about. Dravyasya shuddhi ashuddhi cha dravyena vachanena cha samskarena tha kalena mahatvalpadayathava. So depending on the time, you can see that the restrictions on water taking from a well, amount of time involved. Similarly, while using the milk from a cow, the time restrictions are there. So time has a restriction on all those things. Then, now, he says, mahatva alpadhaya thava, means that the water is flowing in the river, right? Now, you are bathing in that river, and somebody else who is contaminated due to his birth or death or something in them, they are also bathing in the same river. You are also bathing in the river. But because the water is flowing, you can, you are still not contaminated. So, a flowing river, anybody can bathe. It will not contaminate anybody. For example, a person who is impure state, he is bathing in the river. Another person is coming and bathing in the river who wants to be pure, who is going to do deity worship. So river is therefore considered to be a purifying force compared to other things. That means a person who is having contamination, whatever cause it may be, birth or death or any other things in the family, there is a contamination in the family, so that person is impure. If he is bathing in the river and you are also bathing in the river and you want to be pure, his bathing in the river will not affect you because the water is flowing. That means any water that is flowing is purer than anything else. But instead, suppose there is a small tank, he is bathing, who is in contamination, and you are bathing, you want to be pure. You are not pure. If you look into all these rules in the world today, you know where we are. So they have a purification ceremony. For this person, if you are bathed in that tank, you require another purification ceremony before you can engage in the worship. But suppose it's a huge lake, and then it is okay. So the size of the lake also matters. That's what he's saying, that's what it means. Kalena mahatva alpadaya athava. Mahatvam alpada. The size of the pond. Mahatvam alpada. Both these things. All this is Vaidigam. All this is coming from the Vaidiga side it is. So, based on the size of the tank or lake where you bathe, it will make a difference. It will make a difference. Pure and impurity is decided on that basis. Suppose a huge lake and a person who is contaminated, he goes and bathes in that lake, the water will not get impure. But if it is a small tank, then the water will get impure. Then, 11th verse. The only thing is, we can only explain these verses through these examples. Otherwise, it's very difficult. Krishna has just said like this. Dravyasya shuddhi ashuddhiya dravyena vasanena cha samskarenatha kalena mahatva alpadaya athava. These are simple examples to explain that a little better. Shaktya ashaktya athava buddhya samruddhya cha yadalpane akham kurvandihi yatha desha avasthanu sarata. Desha avastha. Desham avastha. For example, see, there is a solar eclipse. At that time, one shouldn't eat. At the eclipse time, one shouldn't eat. But that rule doesn't apply to everybody, only healthy people. Suppose somebody is sick, he needs to be fed. That's allowed. That is allowed. So that rule applies to a healthy person, but a sick person, that rule doesn't apply. Say, for example, you are doing some deity worship at home. Normally, if you are having, say, a deity worship, on some certain occasions, people have often, they invite somebody to do the worship, some qualified person, to do the puja at home. At that time, when all the family members are there, so when the worship is going on, you are not allowed to eat. You have to wait till the deity worship is over, and after that only, everybody can eat. So, only after the deity worship is over, then only you can have the prasadam together. Like Shraddha ceremony, for example, after the Shraddham performance is over, then you can have food. But at the same time, if somebody is sick at home, he's lying in the bed, sick, this rule doesn't apply to him. If you're all healthy, then nobody is allowed to eat. But if someone is sick at home, he has to be fed, he is allowed to have food. Because he has to be fed at the right time, he is taking medicines, he is in a sick state, isn't he? So he doesn't have to wait if the worship is over or not. So these rules are different in different situations. For a healthy person, it applies. For a sick person, it doesn't apply. Similarly, he uses the word there, buddhya. Buddhya means that, say for example, in these days particularly, in the olden days, families were closer together. Now, you are living in America or you are living in India somewhere, Australia somewhere. Somebody died, one of your relations, very close, right? There is a contamination period. Till you know about that death, you are not contaminated. You may find all this very in the modern world, because somebody is living so far, till you know about that death has happened to your close member of the family or relations, till you know about that death, you are not impure. You are not impure. All these rules are interesting. Only when you come to know about the death, then it affects you straight away. It starts from then. It starts from then. Similarly, clothes which are torn is considered to be impure. For whom? For example, for a very poor person who can't afford good clothing, he is very poor, for him it's pure. But for a rich person, if he wears a torn cloth, it's impure for him. It's impure for him. So, because after all, cloth is for covering our nakedness, isn't it? So, a poor person, for him, even though the cloth is torn, it is still considered to be okay. But a person who can afford good clothing, if he wears the torn cloth, it's considered to be impure for him. So that is what that word samardhya means. Shaktya, ashaktya, adhava, buddhya, samardhya cha yada alpane. So for a rich person, if he wears a soiled cloth or a torn cloth, that's impure. But for a pure person, it is not impure. It's not impure. So, this shuddhi, ashuddhi, purity and impurity, is based on this principle, based on the time, the place, the people who are involved in that. That's what Krishna is saying here. Shaktya, ashaktya, adhava, buddhya, samrudhya cha yada alpani, akham kurvandihi, yada desha avastanu sarada. Desha avastanu sarada. That means you have to look at that person's particular state, what state he is in. And the place, all based on all these things, this decision has to be made. In a place where a lot of disturbances are going on due to, say, war or civil disturbances, things can happen like that, isn't it? In such situations, it may not be possible to follow all these rules. Similarly, if a person is in a sick state or a healthy state, there also situation changes. Here, all these factors has a impact on the decision when you make about the particular time, place is qualified for performing a particular sacrifice. Therefore, good time is favorable, and one who has good health, he has to follow these rules very rigidly, and he must, Krishna is saying, take into account the purity and impurity rules very rigidly in his worship process. You can see how the deity worship has a real subject of, it's a science behind that. And to study that and to understand, to follow that, it is difficult. In certain situations, it's very difficult.
Shaktya, ashaktya, adhava, buddhya, samrudhya, jaya, ida alpani, akham kurvandihi yatha, desha, avastanu sarada, dhanyam, dharva, astida, tandunam, rasa, taijasa, charmanam, കാലവായ അഗ്നിമൃത്വമായി പാർത്ഥിവാനാം യുതായുധൈ. സോ നൗ എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹു ഈസ് പെർഫോമിംഗ് ദി കർമ്മം, പേഴ്സൺ ഈസ് പെർഫോമിംഗ് ദി കർമ്മം, ഹി ഷുഡ് ബി ഇൻ എ pure state. For example, at home when it is done, say the husband, the man who is doing it, he must, before he engages in a worship or any sadkarmam when he performs, before that he should bathe. That will purify that person. He should definitely bathe, and that bathing itself is called mantra snanam, with mantram he bathe. That means he chanting the holy name and bathing with that. Then after the body is purified with various ingredients, body is purified and all the dirt, impurities have been removed from the body, washing the feet and then performing the achamanam, and then there are certain mantras to be chanted while bathing and dipping in the river or in the tank, and according to the sampradaya what is followed there, chanting the Vedic hymns, he should bathe. That is the mantra snanam. Now for a small ceremony at home, what one is doing, the mantra snanam is different for one who is performing a big yagam, big sacrifice. For example, adhiratram, agnishomam, vajavayam, big sacrifices when they perform, those who are performing these sacrifices, they have to perform so many times, they have to bathe every day. And there are special mantras for bathing for that sacrifices. Another occasion, for example, somebody, say you have gone to the crematorium to participate in somebody's body has been burned. You have gone there. But when you come back, you have to bathe before you take food. So, and there are special mantras for that as well, to bathe after coming back from the crematorium or from the place where the body has been burned. And for that, ordinary bathing is not enough. Therefore, that is mantra snanam. Then, danam. Nandi mukham, they call it. There is a particular way. Then, certain things has to... You will find this in the Bhagavadam. When Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva and all, when Krishna was born, they have performed so much in charity, so much purificatory ceremonies were performed. All these things are spoken in the Bhagavadam. Why do they do all that? For purification purposes. When a birth happens, for purification purposes, you do these charities. Similarly, austerities, meditations, chanting the holy name, all these things. Then he says, Danyadava Asti Dandunam Rajasa Ajasakara Charmana Kalavai Agni Mrutvaye Parthivanam Yudayute. For example, depending at what age you are in your life, this rule will change. Kaumaram, for example, when you are a little boy, they are not very rigid about these things. For a little boy, you are not very rigid about that. All these rules not totally fully apply to him. But for a young man, all the rules apply. For an older person, very old, they don't apply again. Again, these rules don't apply. So that means all this depends on the samskaram. And so for example, various samskarams what we perform. Samskaram is also a big topic of discussion, isn't it? These days,
that is a difficult topic also, because people are all understanding in different ways and they are trying to incorporate what they have understood. It doesn't work like that. That is the difficulty. Unfortunately, the situation is not very helpful. Like Prabhupada said about Garbhadhana Samskaram. Now everybody is after Garbhadhanam. But pure devotees are not coming out from that. After all that. Why is that? You have to ask that question. You can't pick and choose in all these things. Either we follow everything properly and rigidly, or we say we are helpless about it, we can't do anything about it. That's our difficult situation. When you are picking up one or two things from the in the name of Vedic philosophy and start using that, Garbhadhanam has become a business now. There's a lot of people available now for doing that. Advertisement also, it's done. It's all nonsense. Actually, it doesn't make any sense. That there is samskaras mentioned, about 40 samskaras for the Brahmana. And sometimes it says 16 samskaram, shodasha samskaram they call it. But whatever it may be, unless you are living in an environment which is favorable for all these things, individually you are trying to do one or two things from here and there, it will develop in a commercial way, go in a different direction. Ubanayanam, Gayatri, Diksha. Krishna is saying there, in all these situations, for example, purification and all these things, if you simply remember about Krishna, you will get purified. If you remember about Krishna, you will get purified. That's what he's saying. Look at the 14th verse. Snanam dana tapo avastha virya samskara karma bhi mal smritya chaatmana shaujam shuddha karma acharel dvija. Mal smritya. If you simply remember Krishna and with all these impurities around, if you still do anything, it will be purified by simply remembering Krishna. But that we won't do. Our attention is always on the karma. Is it not? So that is why he's saying here. So all these different things what Krishna has spoken, he says, if you can't do all that, don't worry. If you remember me, you will be purified. You will be purified. If he chants the holy name, he will be purified. He will be purified. Then 15. Mandrasya parijnanam karma shuddhir madarpanam. Dharma sambadade shadbi adharmastu vipariyaya. While chanting the mantra shuddhi, that's called mantra shuddhi, while chanting the mantra, that you should understand the mantra properly, you should pronounce the mantra properly, and that is mantra shuddhi. The pronouncing the mantra properly and also properly understanding the mantra, properly understanding the mantra. And you should receive that mantra from a properly qualified person. From a qualified person. Whatever mantra it may be, only then that mantra will be effective. That mantra will be effective. So, akshara shuddhi, what you are pronouncing, the purity should be there. And that you have to learn from the teacher. And only he should explain that to the student. And only then it will be any effect. It will have any effect. You can't just take the book and start reading from the book mantras. That's not allowed. So, mantram is become shuddhi for the mantram comes from mantra diksha. From the mantra diksha. That means getting the proper instructions from the spiritual master. Karma shuddhi. What is karma shuddhi? Karma shuddhi, mantra shuddhi, karma shuddhi. Krishna is saying there, mantrasyaja parijnanam. Parijnanam of mantra shuddhi, that's what he is saying here. Mantrasyaja parijnanam. Parijnanam means that you understand what the mantra you are chanting properly. It's the potency of that mantra. And that you received in the proper way through the from the spiritual master. He should have given you that mantra. The next thing is
karma shuddhi madarpanam.
What is karma shuddhi? Karma shuddhi means that that the karmam is performed only to please Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure. Arpanam, like we say that El Kurushamad Arpanam, Krishna says there, isn't it? What's that verse in the Bhagavad Gita? He says, El Kurushamad Arpanam. Everything should be offered to Krishna in that way, that Arpanam. So, Desham, Kalam, Dravyam, Karta, Mantram, Karmam. All these things, Desham, Kalam, Dravyam, Karta, Mantram, Karmam. All these things can be pure or impure. All these things. They are all part of the different ceremonies what are performed. Desham means place. Kalam, time. Dravyam, the ingredients. Karta, the person who is doing it. Mantram, that is chanted in the karmam. And karmam, the activity itself. All these things will depend whether it is properly done or not, depending on the purity or the impurity of the things what was mentioned there. So, desham shuddham, pure, time should be pure, and if at the place where devotees are living, in such a place, it will be pure, and places where dravyam, ingredients are available in plenty, and in such places, and a action is performed, then kala shuddhi has come. That's what he's saying here. Dravyena
snana dana tapo avastha virya samskara karma bhi mal smritya chaatmana shaujam shuddha karmacharel dvija. Earlier Krishna said in the 10th verse, you see, dravyasya shuddhi ashuddhi cha dravyena vachanena cha samskareneda kalena mahatu alpataya athava.
So looking into all these rules, dravya shuddhi, first of all, dravya shuddhi should be there. Kartra shuddhi, Krishna has spoken before. Karma shuddhi is when it is offered to Krishna's pleasure. And in this way, if it is done, all the six things, they become pure. And if all the six things are pure, then the result of that will be pure. And if all the six things are not impure, the result will be catastrophic, Krishna saying. So punyam pavam, sinful, pious results and impious results, sinful results will come from these things. From these things. It is in this way, punyam pavam, pious and sinful thing, dharmam adharmam, religious and irreligious, shuddham ashuddham, pure and impure, these things are decided. By pure action, dharmam comes from that, and from dharmam, punyam, pious results will come. From impure action, irreligious things will come, and from irreligious activities, sinful results will come. So they are connected to each other.
Kochil gunobhi doshasyal, 16th verse. Kochil gunobhi doshasyal, doshobhi vidhina guna, guna doshatamemas, tadvidha meva bhatate.
Certain things, even though they are, this is another side to it. Certain things, even though they are, the results are bad, in certain instances they will come out good for us. So, for example, when there is dangerous timings, when there is, say, for example, fighting goes on in a particular place, war happens in situations like that, you may have to take help from somebody else at that time. As much as possible, one should not take help from others. That is what is required, as much as possible. But in difficult times, for the sake of existence, taking help from others is not considered to be wrong. Taking help from others is not considered to be wrong. So, in good times, when you are comfortable and then you are taking help from others, that's bad. Taking help from others in good times is considered to be bad. But in difficult times, if you are taking help from somebody else, it's okay. It's good, he says. So you can see gunam dosham, as this chapter was titled, gunam dosham is decided based on the situation a lot. That's what Krishna said there, remember? That in the fourth verse, dharmartham, vyavahararartham, yatrartham, iti janaka, darshito ayamaya acharyo dharma uddhadam nam. Uddhadam dhira. So, dharmartham, vyavahararartham, yatrartham. The situations can change in life depending on what situation we are in. Accordingly, it can change. Dharmartham, vyavahararartham, yatrartham. In laukikam, all these things do apply. Laukikam, in the material life. So, similarly, one is not allowed others' dharmam if we do, that is wrong. That is also wrong. Their dharmam, paradharmam, for them it is okay, but for us it is damaging. It is damaging. For example, some things what you are not qualified, you are not allowed, you are not qualified to do that. If you do that, even though it is a good thing what you are doing, salkarmam, but because you are not qualified to do that, the result that you will get from that karmam will be trouble, will not be good. You see, you are doing a good thing. You may be thinking, I am doing a good thing, but you are not qualified to do that. So if you do such a thing, what will happen is, the result that will come from that will not be good, will not be good. Why? Because the person who is doing it is not qualified to do it. That's the important principle. Karma may be good. You are thinking that, oh, I'm doing the right thing. You may be thinking like, but you're not qualified to do that. So that qualification is an important thing. Qualification is an important thing. In the modern world, they don't care, do they? Everybody is qualified now for everything. That's why the whole thing is in a mess. Total mess it is. What's going on? Right? In the name of bhakti, we are propagating certain things. In the name of yajna, we are doing so many things. Yajna, we are doing so many things. But all these things, the ultimate analysis, because there is no shastram behind it, everything based on the mind, and everybody thinks they are qualified for everything, then what's the result you can see coming from that? This is the disaster. The total disaster it is. So, all these things, why Krishna has spoken all these things is, we should understand why all these things have been spoken. The purpose is that, as he said before in the beginning, to come out of this karma kalabam. Too much karma. Busy with too much karma. And that to free from that karma, that is the goal. Free from that karma. So, but people who are doing all these things, they are the maximum busy in the karma. That's another side to it. They are too busy with the karmam, and therefore they are the ones who are involved in all this. They also don't understand what they are doing. It seems like that. So Krishna is saying here that only that much karmam is sufficient, what is essential to live here. It's essential to live here. But to give importance to cultivating Krishna consciousness. Cultivating Krishna consciousness. So, because Krishna's point is, human form I have given to develop self-realization or Krishna consciousness. They are one and the same. Self-realization and Krishna consciousness are one and the same. Without understanding that, that is the biggest problem. That not knowing what it is, in the name of bhakti, so many things we do. But at the same time, because it is not properly supplemented with knowledge and renunciation, all the results that's coming from that is also not very beneficial. Very beneficial. So, Krishna is saying here that maximum time and energy should be used for this purpose. Or in other words, this laugike vyavaram, material activities, to minimize that as much as possible. Because karmam is spoken in this way in the Bhagavatam, to bring it down as much as possible. That means to get out of karmam, you are using the karmam, not to increase the karmam. Karmanam karmana karma nirharam. Karmam is done for the sake of freeing oneself from karma. Freeing oneself from karma. Not otherwise, whole lifetime busy with kriya kalapam. Kriya kalapam. So to know the message of the shastram properly and to live accordingly, that's, and to try to do it in that way. Yato, look at that verse, what Krishna is saying. 18th verse. Yato yato nivarteta vimucheta tadastata esha dharmo nranam kshema shoga moha bhayavaha. He says, the responsibility in human life is to free himself from bondage. Bondage means through the karmam he is bound, isn't it? Karmam binds. So the responsibility is to free himself from karmam. Yato yato nivarteta vimucheta tadastata. Nivrti dharmam or vimuchyada tadastada, free himself from that bondage. Esha dharmo nranam. Any dharmam that is performed in that way is auspicious. Dharmam kshemam. The more we withdraw from material dealings, material activities, to that extent we get closer to Krishna. We get closer to Krishna. So, the more we minimize our material activities, and the more you are able to devote the time for spiritual activities, to that extent you will get yourself released from material existence. Material existence. And you will get closer to Krishna. So always the goal is to get closer to Krishna, not to get entangled in the material activities. That is what the essence of all this. Yato yato nivarteda vimucheda tadastada esha dharmo nranam kshemam shoga moha bhayavaha. Shoga moha bhayavaha. Because that is what will free ourselves from anxiety, lamentation, illusion and fear. Lamentation, illusion and fear. Shoga moha bhayavaha, he says. Then, after that, see the three verses. Vishayeshu gunadhyasal pumsa sangastado bhaved sangal tatra bhavel kamam kama deva kalir nranam kaledur vishaha krodha krodha stamas tamanu vartade tamasa grasyade pumsa chedana vyapini drudam taya virahida sado jandu shunyaya kalpade tadose swartha vibramsho murchidasya mrdasya cha. If we don't follow this instructions, what Krishna has spoken here. He says here that instead if you live a life of luxury and enjoying spirit in that way, what will happen? Krishna is saying, you are killing yourself, the soul. Spiritually you will die. You will die. Because Krishna has spoken this before also, this warning he has given us, isn't it? If you get attracted to material sense enjoyment, what was the disaster? Dhyayado vishaya pumsam sangaste ashubha jayate sangal sanjayate kamam kamal krodhobi jayate krodhal bhavati samoha samohal smruti vibhramam. So, if any desire develops inside to, in a particular sense enjoyment in this world, then that desire will build up inside. Kamam will come from that. And once that desire is built up strongly, then the impact of that is krodham. anger will come from that when it's not fulfilled. So in order to fulfill that desire, if you start working for that, and if somebody stops that, somebody comes as an obstacle to that, then you will get angry with that person. First dhyanam starts, and then sangam develops from that attachment. Sangasteshu vajayade. Sangal sanjayade kamam. Due to that, contact with the sense object, kamam built up, desire builds up inside. Kamam, when you are not able to fulfill that kamam, krotho bhi jayade. Krotham comes from that. And when krotham comes, what happens? Tamogunam comes from that. Tamogunam will build up in the person. Yeah. So, and with that, he loses his intelligence. Krodhal bhavati samohal smriti vibhramam. Smriti bhramshal buddhi nasham. Buddhi nashal pranashyadi. Isn't it? So, what is a shreyasa? What is auspicious for that? And that mean, what does that mean? It means that you lose your power of discrimination, able to think properly, and able to make the right choice of what should be done. You lose that discriminative power. That's what he's saying. You will lose that. That's what Krishna is saying there. Then, and ultimately, what happens? Buddhi nashal pranashyadi. Pranashyadi, isn't it? That means you fall very deep into the deep pit of material misery. Material misery, in other words. So, this can happen if one has attachment in one direction. In one. There are so many things in the Shastram. When you want to, you have to think through it. For example, how things can be misunderstood. King Yadu went to see Dattatreya Maharshi. Is it not? And 24 spiritual masters are spoken there. Right? Prithivi, Vairaga, Shama, Vagna, Chandramayan, Ravi. Madhuha, Harino, Meena, Pingala, Kurir, Arpagam, Kumari, Sharaval, Sarpam, Urnana, Abhi, Subeshakaral. So 24 spiritual masters are spoken there. So, Dattatreya Maharshi talks about these 24 spiritual masters, what he has learned from every one of them. So, there is this he says, I have learned these different things from the different gurus, isn't it? So he says that this Ahimushika Nyayam, what he's talking about, is that somebody tried to lock up a snake inside a cage. Inside a cage. So he thought that instead of killing the snake, he will lock up inside a box. But a mouse came and thinking that there is something to eat inside has cut the wire net, and the snake inside ate the mouse and came out from inside the cage. This is called Ahimushika Nyayam. They call like this, right? Now, when we understand that, you can see that people develop some misunderstanding from that. They say that why should you work hard in this world? Those who want to work, let them work hard. We will live at others' cost. Right? This thinking has come. Not knowing in what context that has been spoken. So, even among devotees, these thoughts has developed in this way. That, why should I work hard? You work, you pay the taxes, we will live comfortably at your cost. This mentality has come. Shastram doesn't allow that. When Dattatreya Maharshi says this to Yadu, you got to understand, it is only for the sannyasis this is allowed. A householder living a life, he should work in this world and make his living properly. He is not allowed to think like this. that I am intelligent, everybody else is stupid going to work every day, and they should support me. If he is thinking like that, that means he has not understood what Yathātraya has told Yadu. So there are so many things. In what situation, to whom it's spoken, and who is qualified for that, that has to be taken into account. So Shastram brings lots of conditions, and you can easily misunderstand, abuse it for your own benefit, and cheat others. And there is no excuse for that. It doesn't justify at all. Shastram doesn't accept it. You can do with your mind whatever you like, but Shastram doesn't accept that. So this is the difficulty. So you can see here that one person gets attached to one kind of sense enjoyment, and if that person, suppose he gets attracted to several different sense enjoyments, what can happen to that person? What can happen to that person? So at that situation, we won't even know that we are degrading ourselves. We won't even know that. So that situation should not happen in life. That's what Krishna is saying in there. That when one is degrading, then Vishayeshu gunadhyasal pumsa sangas tado bhavel sangal tatra bhavel kamam kama deva kalir nranam kalir durvishaha krodam tamastavinu vartade tamasagrasyade pumsa chetana vyapini drudam taya virahita sadho jandu shunyaya kalpade tadosya swartha vibramsho murchidasya mrdasya cha. Krishna is saying there. So therefore, first thing is that to know that building up desires inside unnecessarily, that itself is damaging to us, and try to bring it down. And only if we endeavor in that direction, it can happen. If we don't know about these things, how will it happen? We'll simply go according to the mind, isn't it? Nobody else can help us in these things. If it is so damaging, then this question comes. If all this is damaging for us, these desires, then in the Vedam, there is also several recommendations to engage in certain karmam to fulfill those desires. Shastram is saying to us, don't cultivate these desires, unnecessary desires inside. But the same Shastram is telling us also, to fulfill those desires, there is certain other instructions, kind of sacrifices or different karma recommended for that purpose. That is what in the 23rd verse, you see. Bhalashrudiriyam nranam na shreyo ryochanam param shreyo vivakshaya proktam Yatha Baishajyarochanam. He's saying that Kamya Karma, that means fruitive activities. We discussed this last class, that one who is busy in this world with fruitive activities, he has to follow all the rules and regulations. It's mandatory for him. One who has come to Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam, established in that, it's not mandatory for him, because he has already come to a spiritual platform. One come to the Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam, he is not bound by these rules. One who is in the Karma Yogam stage, he is allowed to execute, if he is executing the Karma Yogam, but if some mistakes happen at that stage, that is forgiven, because at least he has come to Karma Yogam process. But one who has neither come to Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam or Bhakti Yogam, but simply in the stage of fruitive activity, he has to follow these rules. That is how Krishna has defined it before. Remember in the beginning, we mentioned that. So, fruitive activities, fruitive desires, is not recommended in the Vedam, thinking that it is good for us. Because Vedam is also telling us, if you perform like Dasharatha Maharaja performed putragameshti for having children. Sacrifices were performed. And similarly, you will see in the Bhagavatam other instances also. So, what Krishna is saying here, na shreyo rochanam param, shreyo vivakshaya proktam yadha bhaisajya rochanam. Not that it is auspicious that it has been recommended, saying. Vedam is telling us that perform these rituals for getting these results. The same Vedam which is telling us to withdraw from all the karmam is also telling us that to fulfill your all these desires, do all these different sacrifices. So how come Vedam tells us that? That's the question here. And that's what Krishna is explaining there. Krishna is saying here that not that Vedam thinks that it is auspicious for you. Vedam knows that it is not good for you. Vedam knows the ultimate purpose of the Vedam is to get us released from here. Right? So that has to be understood. That is the Upanishad conclusions. That to free oneself from this entanglement in this world, from this bondage, right? But what is binding us here? All our desires and the actions we perform due to those desires. So Vedam, which is telling us to get ourselves released from this bondage, is also telling us how to achieve all your satisfaction, happiness in this world and fulfill all your desires by engaging in karma. The same Vedam is telling us this. So that is what Krishna is clarifying here. Krishna is saying to us, Vedam is not telling you to develop desires and to get attached to it and to engage in that karma. That's not the goal. But there are some problems here. What's that problem? Vedam knows very well that it is not auspicious for us to get attracted by the material world, to enjoy here. That attraction should go from inside because that will end up in more bondage here. But instead, Krishna is saying that if you look into the 11th canto, in the 5th chapter, when we spoke about the eleventh verse, if you look there, loge vivaya amisha madhya seva nityastu jandor nahijatra chodana vivastidisteshu vivahayajyam suragrahairasu nivirtirishtaha loge vivaya amisha madhya seva. It is like this, that someone who is extremely involved in sense enjoyment, living a life of sense gratification, right? Such a person, one means one who has no spiritual understanding or no spiritual culture in him. A person is in that state. If you talk to him about soul, maya, brahman, it won't have any effect on him, isn't it? Because he's in that state. All his life is centered around enjoyment. Wants to simply enjoy life. That kind of people. So to him, there is no point in talking to him about self-realization, bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam and all. If you tell him, he wouldn't understand anything what you are talking about. Is it not? So that's a waste of time. Why? Because he doesn't have that maturity to understand all these things. So, but he should also come out of that situation. So, because he is in that mode of ignorance, tamogunam to that extent, the only way he can come out from that tamogunam is he has to come to rajogunam and through sattogunam. First he has to come through rajogunam and through then to sattogunam. From tamogunam directly to sattogunam is not possible. See these three modes of nature, how they work. If someone is in extreme tamogunam, the only way to elevate him, bring him to rajogunam first. And from rajogunam to sattogunam. Therefore, in order to bring these people who are in such tamogunam, in order to bring them out from that tamogunam and to bring them to rajogunam, these karmams are spoken. Induce them with sense enjoyment, some desires, create in them and engage them in such activities which will promote and fulfill their desires, material desires. That is rajogunam. So one who is in tamogunam, there is no other way except to pull him out into rajogunam first. Bring him up into rajogunam. And this is a part of that process. Which one? All the different karmams that is spoken in the... It is amazing that Vedam, which is talking about self-realization, is also talking about how to fulfill your desires in this world and various sacrifices or rituals associated with that. Because that person, he will get attracted if you give him about his fulfill, something to fulfill his desires. Only that will attract him. So therefore, the solution is that get him interested in the results of his work, and that if he finds that it is beneficial, he'll get attracted and he will start doing certain karmam in this world, which will become, elevate him into rajogunam from tamogunam. Even that is a difficult thing, isn't it? From tamogunam to bring him to some to rajogunam. Forget about satogunam. But even from tamogunam to bring somebody into rajogunam is a difficult process. It's a difficult process. He has to find it attractive, isn't it? So that is how it is. So therefore, when they say that, you can see so many things like that, that you say to that person that sometimes people have different desires in the heart for enjoyment in this world. It is coming from vasanas inside, right? So that vasanas will disturb him otherwise. It will be, he wants to enjoy life. He wants to enjoy life. And therefore, you may give all kinds of offerings to them that you can go to the heavenly planets, enjoy there, and you will acquire a lot of wealth, and you will find a good wife or a good husband, and you will have good children. All these kind of desires connected with this world is created in that person's heart, and you tell them that if you do these sacrifices, you will get all that. In this way, that person will get attracted to this, and he will slowly come out of that tamogunam state, quite slowly into rajogunam state. Into rajogunam state. So, after attracted by all these things, he is not attracted to self-realization, not attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam or anything else. These things is attractive for him. So he'll get attracted to that, and he will start thinking that, oh, I'm going to have a lot of money if I make a lot of wealth, or I'm going to have children, and I'll have name and fame, or all these things will go through his head, and he will start acting on that basis. Thinking all these things, he will start doing some good things. He'll start doing some good things. So, when he start doing some good things in this way, this person who was in the tamogunam, he will slowly get lifted into rajogunam. He will slowly get lifted into rajogunam. So, that time he will get these results also. So, in this way, the person who was in the tamogunam, when he gets elevated into the rajogunam. And once he has come into the rajogunam, then he will start realizing that these Vedic injunctions are beneficial. He'll start thinking like that. That's how the psychology works at that time. And that is why at that time these Vaidika karmam, they also have this material results coming from that. Material results coming from that. And that is what this Balashruti. Balashruti means that you will see in several places in the Bhagavadam, Balashruti is spoken. Isn't it? If you do study this, this will be the result. Shukha Brahma is saying this. He is saying this. That if you study this particular thing, you will get lot of wealth or good marriage and or lot of children and all kinds of things is spoken like that, right? To attract people, Balashruti is spoken in that way. So what happens is, every karmam
the results of that will be spoken and it will be glorified. It will be glorified. So this phalashuri, that means the why the results, what you will get from there. The interest is like this. Yada Krishna is saying here, yadha vaishajya rochanam. See that word, in that verse 23. Phalashuri yam nunam na shrayo rochanam param. Shrayo vivakshaya proktam. Yadha vaishajya rochanam. Vaishajya rochanam. That means, for example, a mother has to give a very bitter medicines to the child. So mother is offering a laddu to the child and telling the child that if you take this medicine, I will give you this laddu. I'll give you this laddu. So mother's intention is to get the medicine into the child somehow. To get the child to take the medicine. And get the child free from the disease. But because the medicine is very bitter, the child won't take that. Child won't take it. So at that time, the mother bribes the child by giving the laddu, offering the laddu. But the child wants to eat the laddu. The child has a desire to eat the laddu. So therefore, child is thinking, I will manage somehow the bitter medicine inside. But at least I'll get the laddu at the end, isn't it? So, in this way, the child gets his desire fulfilled. Child wants the laddu. He's not bothered what the medicine is. He just takes it because he has been forced to take it. He takes the medicine, gets free from the disease, and and come out of that, is it not? But he has got the laddu what he wanted. It is similar the situation of the one who is in tamogunam. When he is in the tamogunam, he has got a lot of desires inside. Children, wealth, power, position, good job or lot of wealth and things like that, many, many desires in this world. So such people who are in that state, in order to encourage them to come to rajogunam, this bribing process, that's what Vedam is doing there. Vedam is saying, you know, they say that engage that person in a particular karma in such a way and give this bribery to them. So, so there, instead of laddu to the child, different things are spoken as the benefit you will get from that. So, so desiring all these things, he will engage in karmam somehow. Name and fame and things like that, desiring all that, he will engage in karmam. Particularly vaidhya karmam. Because it will be, the karmam recommended for that will be vaidhyam or satkarmam. So the intention of the Vedam is also to elevate that person who is in tamogunam. So therefore, it is structured in this way. It is structured in this way. So he will come from tamogunam to rajogunam in this way. That is the purpose behind it. So when we study from Vedic, when you read the Puranam, you will find all these things. In some places, you will start wondering why all these things are spoken in this way. Because when you take Bhagavatam, you are thinking, oh, it's all about the absolute truth, self-realization, the knowledge for realizing the truth, is it not? But you also see things like this is spoken in the Bhagavatam and in other Puranams also. But the intention is this, that Srimad Bhagavatam should benefit everybody, whether someone is in Rajogunam or Tamogunam, also to be brought, elevated later on. And Vedam has no intention to drag us down into sense enjoyment. To drag us down into sense enjoyment. Because if Vedam drag us back into the sense enjoyment and sense gratification, how can you trust Vedam then? How could you trust Vedam then, isn't it? Because Vedam is always for our thinking about our well-being. Vedam's intention is that, is our well-being. So, So, Shruti Mata, the Vedam will never drag us into sense enjoyment. Will never drag us into sense enjoyment. That is the fundamental principle. That's the fundamental principle. We'll continue with that later.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budhivardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadanam sarvatna suvanam bharam vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam namnamakari bahudha nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdaiva midrishamiha janina nuragaham trinarabhi shunichena tarorabhi sahishtuna amahina manadena kirtaniya sadahari madhanam madhanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamai janmani janmani shuri pavadar bhaktirahai tugitvai ainandatanujakingaram padidamam shame bhavam budau kripaya tava padapangajasthiraduli sadrasham vichindayam mayanam galadashudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira ulagair nichidam kadavapo tavannam agrahane bhavishyadim yugayidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name ആശ്ലിഷ്യവാദരദാം പിനഷ്ടുമാം അദർശനാമർമഹദാം കരോതു വ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദധാ ദുലംബണോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നൈവ നാപരാം.
സോ വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ദി ഇന്റൻഷൻ ഓഫ് ദി വേദം ഈസ് ടു one who is in tamogunam to bring him to rajogunam first. So for that purpose all these different sacrifices are spoken. You can see in the verse 24 Krishna is saying ulpatyeva hi kameshu praneshu swajaneshu cha asakta manaso martya almano anartha hedushu. Krishna is asking the question. He says ഉൽപത്യൈവഹി കാമേഷു പ്രാണേഷു സ്വജനേഷു ച ആസക്ത മനസോ മർത്യ ആത്മനോ അനർത്ഥഹേതുഷു. ഈ സെയിം ദാറ്റ് വേദം ഹാസ് നോ ഇൻറ്റൻഷൻ ടു ഗെറ്റ് എസ് മോർ ബൗണ്ട് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. ദാറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് ദി ഗോൾ ഓഫ് വേദം ടു ഗെറ്റ് എസ് മോർ ബൗണ്ട് ഹിയർ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. ബട്ട് ഇൻസ്റ്റെഡ് ആസക്ത മനസോ മത്യ ആത്മനോ അനർത്ഥ ഹേതുഷു വിൽ ഡിറ്റ് ക്രിയേറ്റ് എ സിറ്റുവേഷൻ അനർത്ഥം ഫോർ ദ സെൽഫ്. ദാറ്റ് വിൽ നോട്ട് ഹാപ്പൻ. സോ ബിക്കോസ് ദി ഡിസയർ ഫോർ സെൻസ് എൻജോയ്മെന്റ് ഈസ് ദർ ഇൻ ഓൾ ഓഫ് അസ്. ഈവൻ വിത്തൌട്ട് വേദം ഹെൽപ്പ് വി ക്യാൻ ഡു ദാറ്റ്. വി ഡോണ്ട് നീഡ് വേദം ടു ടെൽ അസ് ടു എൻജോയ് ദ സെൻസസ്. Isn't it? Why? Vasanas are there inside. We don't require Vedam. Vedam doesn't have to inspire us to engage in sense enjoyment, engage in sense gratification. It is a natural thing because of vasanas inside. So, nobody need to tell us that to get drunk or to take alcohol. It's a natural thing in a people to accept alcohol. Similarly, eating meat, this kind of desires, or engage in sense gratification otherwise. So those things, without Vedam telling us, we would have naturally got attracted to it and gone behind that, gone along with that. So we know that they are going to cause problems, anartha, later on. So if things to which we are naturally attracted, naturally we are attracted in that direction, eating meat, drinking alcohol, having illicit sex, all these kind of things, if Vedam is again dragging us in that direction, how can you trust the Vedas then? Is it not? That's the point Krishna is making there. That those vasanas are already there in the people. Vedam, you don't require Vedam to encourage in that direction. But if Vedam is still saying that all these things is can be done in a way, then the intention is that Vedam, which is meant to give us and guide us in the right direction, if it is telling all these things are allowed, that means why Vedam is saying like that? That's what Krishna is saying, that question there. So, that is one. You have to go back into that fifth chapter. Loke vivayamisham adhya seva. 11.5.11. Loke vivayamisham adhya seva. Nityastu jandor nahi tatra chodana. Vivastiri steshu vivahayajnam suragrahai asu nivrtirishta. That verse, you see. Then, what is that? In a natural way, alcohol, drinking, eating meat, sex life, all these things, Vedam decided that is our natural propensity to go in that way. At least bring some control over that. And in that way, take people out of this desires, out of these desires. That means, for example, these bad vasanas, bad propensities in us to eat meat, to drink alcohol, to have illicit sex life, all these desires, that's already there. Vedam is saying, by their injunctions, they are trying to put some restrictions on that in such a way that eventually you will come out from that. That's how the injunctions are in the Vedam about that. For example, it is for this purpose that marriage is allowed. Sacrifices are allowed. It is for this reason only. So, they are not vidhi, in other words. They are not vidhi. Marriage is not a vidhi. There is no rule that you have to get married. It's not mentioned in the Vedam anywhere that you have to get married. It's not mentioned like that. Similarly, eating, but marriage is not a must. That's how Vedam. Nowhere in the Vedam you will find you have to get married. It's not mandatory. But why then marriage is allowed? Marriage is allowed for those people who have difficult to control over their sex desires. They brought a restriction through marriage. That is the purpose of marriage. So it's not a vidhi. Vidhi means you must. It's not a vidhi. If you can do without that, fair enough, no problem. This is how it is. Similarly, eating meat is concerned. One should not eat, but vasana is there to eat meat. So when it is like that, if you are unable to control that, we know very well it is a bad thing, but unable to give it up. In that sense, when it says like that, that perform the sacrifice and you can have in that sacrifice. And only as a havisa that comes from the yagam. And that too, you can't eat up to your heart content. But as a prasadam, you can accept something from that, a part of that. So that bad desire inside us to eat meat, they have put a restriction on us through sacrifice. Similarly, that bad desire for sex enjoyment, they have put a restriction on us through marriage. They are all restrictions to check our desires. Suppose there was no restrictions, what would have happened in this world? Imagine, if it's free for all, that stage will come, isn't it? So, through yagam, a restriction has brought on our life, so that the desire for eating meat is brought down, curtailed there. And lot of restrictions, they say you have to perform a sacrifice. And sacrifice means only you have to select the date, time and qualified people, all other things required for that particular sacrifice. And when you think about all the, if you are following the Vedic injunction seriously, and think about all the effort required for that, you will slowly give up that plan to eat meat. That will go away from inside. And slowly you will come out of that desire. So, yagam is a restriction put on us to control our desire for eating meat. Similarly, marriage. Marriage is a restriction put on us to control our sex desire. So, similarly, alcohol also. Like meat, as a havisa, you can accept that. And that too, you are only allowed to smell. It says there.
Loke vivayamisham adhyasevam nityastu jandor nahidatra chodana vivastidisteshu vivahayajnam suragrahairasya nivrtirishta.
There is no vidhi there, but bhogam, sense enjoyment, sense gratification, eating meat, drinking alcohol, all of them, there is a sacrifice called sautramani. In that sautramani, madhyavanam, alcohol is taken as a prasadam sometimes, not anything otherwise. So, the purpose of Vedam is to restrict us and to bring control on our life in this world. That they say that it's not telling us you can drink alcohol. What it says that grana bhaksham, that means you can smell that. And suppose when they say like that, if you want to take a drop inside, it's allowed. If the desire is so overwhelming inside to have the alcohol inside, you can allow to have a few drops. It's not stopping that. But definitely not get drunk, wander around after the sacrifice. That's not what is expected. What is expected? Right? That it will have a good time after that. It gets into the head. So, therefore, they put a boundary there. That too, after a havisa. Havisa means that's offered in the sacrifice. It's a havisa. And then alcohol you can drink, but that too in a very limited way, only after sacrifice. Right? So, similarly, sex desires also. You're not allowed to have freely sex all the time, but therefore you get married and with the wife on a particular time when you are allowed for that, in this way, and not to have any relationship with other women. So, even associating with one's own wife, for talk about other association with other women is forbidden, but even with one's own wife, only at the time specified, which is also there. In this way, all the bad vasanas inside us, which is natural within us, making us aware that they are all bad. First thing, we have to get convinced that they are bad things, and then bringing a control over them, and in that way slowly bringing the people out of those vasanas. And it is for that purpose marriage and all the other sacrifices are spoken in the Vedam. Not otherwise, that freely you can have drink and you can eat meat and you can have sex life in that way. So, what Vedam has done is, Vedam has brought some tight control on all these things in such a way that little by little you will come out of it. And that we must understand, he's saying there. And that's why, you see that word, they use the word nivrtirishta. If you look at that word, in that fifth chapter,
loke vivaya misham adhya seva nityastu jandur mahidatra chodana vivastiri steshu vivaha yajna sura graheirasu
nivrtirishta. This vyavastha or this system has been set up
for what? Vivaham, marriage, yajnam, sacrifices, suragrahirasu,
nivrtirishta, for nivritti purpose, to come out of that, it is for that purpose it has been set up. Nivritti reshta. So, without knowing that it is for nivritti, if you engage in that, it will cause problems. It is only for nivritti, to come out of that, this has been set up. Krishna says this, 25th verse, you look.
Ta na tan avidusha swartham brahmyado vrijina dhvani kadam yunjyal punasteshu tamstamo vishado buddha.
He says, how can Vedam drag anyone, degrade a person? That is not the intention of the Vedam, degrade anybody.
Evam vivasidam kejit avijnaya kubuddhaya bhalashrutim kusmidam na vedajnyo vadandihi.
He says, without knowing this secret of Vedic injunctions, not properly understanding the purpose of the Vedic injunctions, that they simply misunderstand everything.
Bhalashrutim kusmidam na vedajnya vadandihi,
he says. Some people who interpret the Vedas in this way, that this is a vidhi, it is an injunction in the Vedam, that you have to perform sacrifices, every year you should perform sacrifice, and says that you must get married, and in this way they start interpreting things in that way. And they also says to the us that in accepting these Vedic injunctions and living in that way is life. They are telling us like that. So, and they also tell us that the Vaidika Karma Anushtanam, that all these Vaidika Karma, following them is necessary in life. And keeping all these desires in their heart and fulfilling all these desires, you should engage in all these Vedic rituals. People misinterpret Vedas in that way. Krishna is saying like that. And they are also telling us that this is the purport of the Vedas. And Krishna is saying, there are acharyas who interpret the Vedas in this karma varam, in this particular way, through engaging in karma. Krishna is saying, that is not correct. That's what he is saying here. Na vedajnya vadandihi, he says. Na vedajnya vadandihi, he says. Na vedajnya vadandihi. That means, people who really understand the Vedam, they will never speak like that. Krishna is saying. Will never speak like that. So, because Vedam is jnanam, jnanaparam, not karmaparam. That's a misunderstanding among many people. Vedam is not karmaparam. Vedam is jnanaparam. Jnanaparam. Because purpose of the Vedam is to get us out from, to make us realize our identity. And that requires knowledge. Jnanam. Karmam doesn't help. So, those who are whereas major part of the Vedam is Yajnam. Yajurvedam is, all of it is Yajnam. Isn't it? So, the certain acharyas have misinterpreted Vedam in this way. That's what Krishna's point. That they have made the world to think, he's pointing at Mimamsa philosophy. That Mimamsakas have taken this approach, that performing sacrifices is important, living a good life in this world, based on the Vedam. They have interpreted in that way. They are not saying outside the Vedam, but within the Vedic injunctions, following the Vedic rules and injunctions, but living a life, executing the karma, what is prescribed in the Vedam as the goal of life. Krishna is saying, no, Vedam is jnanavaram, not karmavaram. Because jnanam is the only thing that will free us from this bondage. Karmam won't. So that's the point he is pointing, Krishna is pointing out there. He's saying there that,
evam vivasidam kejit avijnaya kubuddhaya phalashruvim kusmidam na vedajnya vadandihi.
Na vedajnya vadandihi. Then,
Veda Talpariyam is not in the interest of the Vedam, is not in karma, but instead it is in knowledge.
This is the main debate with Mandala Mishra and Shankaracharya in Mahishmadi, in Bihar, when they were arguing about it. Vedavyasa Maharshi was the judge, and Acharya Swamiji, Mandala Mishra, who later became the Sureshwara Acharya, he was a famous Mimamsaka of that time. Strictly followed the Karmakandam philosophy and wanted to promote Karmakandam, Mimamsa philosophy. In that discussion between them, this issue has come up, and Acharya Swamiji convinced him that Vedam is Jnanavaram, not Karmavaram. Goal is ultimately to free yourself from this material existence, and Vedam is meant for that. Whereas Mimamsakas, they follow Vedam. Based on the Vedam only they live their life in this world. But their philosophy is that we should do the karmam as spoken in the Vedam, and that alone will be the beneficial for us. That was not acceptable. So Vedavyasa Maharshi and others are saying there, and that is what Krishna is also saying here. Kamina kripana lubdha pushpeshu phalabuddhaya agni mugdha dhumadanda sum lokam navidandite. Greatly attached to the sense enjoyment and becoming very miserly and greedy, and in order to enjoy the senses, there are people who are following the Vedic rituals very seriously. Vedic rituals very seriously, because there are so many Vedic rituals spoken to increase our happiness of life in this world, and following them. And they will never understand the message of the Vedam, Krishna is saying. They will understand, and because they will never know about the soul, they will never realize the soul. So therefore, one should understand the tattvam behind that. Karma mokshaya karmani. All karma spoken in the Vedam is to free yourself from karma at the end. Karma mokshaya karmani. To free ourselves from this karma. That we must understand. Karma, in order to free ourselves from the karma, what has to be done? Chitta shuddhi has to happen. We have to purify ourselves, isn't it? And in order that chitta shuddhi to come up inside, all the karma should be executed in such a way as offering to Krishna. As offering to Krishna. It is at that time chitta shuddhi will come, and in that way shraddha will come in spiritual life. Shraddha will develop in the spiritual life. It is only for that purpose karma is spoken in the Vedam. And karma on its own is not a purushartham. Purushartham means dharmam, artham, dhamam, moksham. Karmam is not one of them. Only through bhakti or through jnanam, self-realization will happen. Not otherwise. Self-realization will happen only through jnanam or bhakti. And karmam is only a supporting factor. That is how one should understand the relationship between karmam, jnanam and bhakti. Jnanam and bhakti alone can actually release us from this situation. Chit for chitta shuddhi and the knowledge. Purification inside the heart through bhakti and knowledge through jnanam also. Either of them. But without jnanam and bhakti, karmam alone on its own cannot do it. But karmam can is a great support for developing jnanam or bhakti. This is the tattvam. If we are not understood, there can be a lot of problems.
नदे मामंग जानंदी कृदिस्तम्य इदम् यदा उक्तशस्त्रा असुद्रुपो यदा निहार चक्षुषाम.
कृष्णस पॉइंट.
नदे मामंग जानंदी कृदिस्तम्य इदम् यदा उक्तशस्त्रा असुद्रुपो यदा निहार चक्षुषाम.
दिस कर्मीज हु आर बिजी विद द कर्मम इन दिस वर्ल्ड, दे आर रनिंग आफ्टर दैट. They will never know me, who is the Antaryami, Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying, I am the Antaryami in everyone. They will never know me. And they don't also know that it is me who is present in everybody as Antaryami. That they don't know about that. They are busy working, earning money and building wealth and building their happiness in this world. But they are not aware that it is me who is present in everyone. You see, certain things, due to our conditioning, we can think in the wrong way. For example, we have Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, three
various, in the Bhagavad Gita when you study, you will see this. That there is this concept of Paramatma, there is a concept of Devata also. Concept of Paramatma is there, concept of Devata also is there. Normally, when we say Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan and all, our thoughts go straight into the form, is it not? That's normally our way of thinking. But that is not how you have to understand that. Why? I'll tell you why. Word Paramatma, immediately we'll think about Krishna's form. Paramatma is only a word. What does that word signifies? Krishna, who is present in everyone as Atma of everybody in this world. It is that concept that should come to our mind when we use the word Paramatma. Not the form straight away. If you are thinking about the form, form is one aspect of that. As soon as you say the word Paramatma, immediately the word should not mislead us. We will think like this, Paramatma, Krishna it is, isn't it? That's how we think. But actually, what the word is trying to tell us is, the one who is present in all the living entities, whole everywhere, in the whole creation, who is dwelling inside as the soul of everyone, that is Paramatma. That concept should come to us immediately when you hear that word Paramatma. Otherwise you have not understood the word Paramatma. Generally when we say, similarly Brahman, the word Brahman if you try, what does Brahman mean? Brahman means the whole creation, isn't it? Everything, living, non-living, spirit, matter, everything in that word Brahman. But if we start thinking, as soon as you heard the Brahman word, he comes. Sometimes people misunderstand. They start thinking the word Brahman, Krishna is Brahman. We'll go in that direction. Our attention goes in that way without realizing the meaning of that word, what it is covering, what does it mean actually. So same thing, the word Ishvara, if you take, we will say Ishvara, Krishna is Ishvara. Yes, Krishna is Ishvara. But when you hear the word Ishvara, the concept that should come to your mind straight away, one who controls this Maya. That's the way you have to see Ishvara. If you are not getting that control of Krishna's controlling power, that is Ishvara. That controlling power is Ishvara. Krishna, who is present in this Maya, controlling this Maya, is Ishvara. But if you are not thinking like that, the word Ishvara has no meaning. So, normal tendency in all of us is to just think the form and this is it. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, everything is that deity, we think like that. But that's not how it should be taken. That's what he's saying here also, that easily things can be misinterpreted, things can be easily spoken in a different way. So in the same way, Krishna is saying here, that in that 28th verse, Nate Mama Angajanandi Hridistam Idam Yada Ukta Shastra Asatrupo Yada Nihara Chachusha. Yada Nihara Chachusha. He's saying that in the this Karmi who was in the Bhagavad Gita you can see this. Those who have understood this Paramatma concept properly, they get liberated because they are established directly with the Paramatma, absolute truth. So when we are referring to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna's position is saying there is this Devada Sangalpam and Paramatma Sangalpam. Both are there in the Bhagavad Gita. Paramatma Sangalpam leads into liberation straight away. Devada Sangalpam takes you to the Devada's place, wherever it is, whichever Devada you are after. That Devada Sangalpam itself is like that, leads to the place where the Devadas are present. And you may come back from that situation. So, it is a complex thing in the Bhagavad Gita. When you read through, there are so many verses explaining this in different places. So, even in the sacrifice, in a Krishna is saying that they glorify these sacrifices, and but because their eyes are covered with the sense gratification inside them, they cannot properly see the goal. Properly see the goal. For example, that when they are talking about performing sacrifices, yajnam, in the Vedam, the purpose is, as Krishna said before, that purpose of the Vedam is not to engage in karmam, to come out of karmam, that's the goal, and develop knowledge, jnanam. But in order to do that, one has to free oneself from the karmam. But if the attachment for karmam is very strong inside, then the chances are that he will study the Vedam and follow the Vedic literature and engage in karmam. If the attraction for karmam is very strong inside. Karma asakti, it is called. So, when people are in that state, Krishna is saying, actually, this karma asakti or attachment to karmam is like a fog which is covering your realization of the self, self-realization. So, and those who have got attracted by karmam in that way will continuously rotate in the cycle of birth and death. He will never be able to come out from that. That's an important point Krishna is making there. Because some last chapter, Krishna said certain things. What was that? He told us that Yogastraya, if you look into the 20th chapter, verse 6, Yogastrayo maya proktam dranam shreyo vidhilsaya jnanam karmam cha bhaktischa no upayo anyosti kutrachil. What did Krishna say there? He told us that those who want to advance in the spiritual life, they have these three processes, jnanam, karmam and bhakti. Isn't it? Jnanam, karma cha bhaktischa no upayo. That's only three ways. No upaya anyosti. There's nothing else outside these three. Jnanam, karmam and bhakti. And he also told us, nirvinnanam jnana yogam nyasinam iha karmasu tesha anirvinna chittanam karma yogastu kaminam. Which yoga process suits whom? Jnanam for those who have got vairagyam and shraddha. And karmam for those who are very attached to action. Attached to results, for them karma yoga. And bhakti for those who are neither this nor that, in between. So all those things Krishna, and then Krishna also told us, yadrachaya mal kadaso jada shraddhastu yapuman na nirvino na adisakto bhakti yogasya siddhida. So all those things, who qualified for which yoga process, everything is spoken in the last chapter. Jnana yogam, karma yogam, bhakti yogam. And now, this question came up from Uddhava. Uddhava asked the question, isn't it? That while nobody can make that decision straight away, because knowing very well one's own situation. Therefore, Uddhava said to Krishna, this Vedam, which you have now spoken to me in the form of Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, is also talking about other things. And that is how Krishna started explaining there that this good and bad, right and wrong, how it is decided, what is the secret behind that? That was Uddhava's question. And answer to that, Krishna started explaining this whole thing. That's how this chapter came out, 21st chapter, came out in that way. So while explaining this chapter, Krishna is talking to us from the position of the Vedam, that the whole Vedam is originally for one purpose only, to help a person to realize the self, who he is. That is the goal of the Vedam. But because Vedam covers Jnanakandam, Karmakandam, Upasanakandam, all of them in that, the persons who followed the Karmakandam process, they glorified Karmakandam to such an extent and saying to others, that if you follow Karmakandam strictly, that is sufficient in this life. This misunderstanding had come. And that is what Krishna is trying to remove that from us by saying to us that purpose of the Vedam is not to engage in karma, to pull us out from the karma, because karma itself is troublesome. Karmana, karmana, karmanirharam. Krishna explained all that. And finally saying there that those who are talking in terms of Karmakandam have not understood the goal of the Vedam. Although they are also following the Vedam, but they have not understood the purpose of the Vedam. Purpose of the Vedam is ultimately to realize the self, to come back to our real state, who we are, knowing and finding it out, right? So here he is saying, it is in that connection he said, he told us here that yato yato nivarteda vimucheda tadastada yasha dharmo nunam kshemam shokamoha bhayavaha. That nivarti dharmam vimucheda tadastada, freeing oneself from karma is the goal, which was in the 18th verse. And then he told us all these things about Vedam and the purpose and way, these injunctions, how they have to be understood, how the injunctions have to be understood. So, if one does not follow Krishna's commentary on that, then the possibility is that, and it is based on this, all the acharyas have followed, that they gave importance to the Shastram in the way Krishna has spoken here. That they didn't follow the way like the Mimamsakas have spoken. So, Mimamsakas are saying that if you perform the sacrifices based, spoken in the Shastram, that is sufficient and you will get the results from that and you will be elevated. Krishna is saying, unless you realize the self, you are not out of trouble. Otherwise, you are still in trouble. So, and Krishna also finally said that those who are running after sense enjoyment in this way, they will never come out of material existence. And he says there, if you look in the verse next, 35, he's saying there that evam pushpitaya vacha vyakshipta manasam nranam maninam chadistabdhanam madhu artabhinaro chade. And verse 35, if you look, vedam brahma alpa vishaya trikanda vishaya ime parokshavada hrishaya paroksham mamaja priyam. You see, then this is the message of the Vedam. Krishna is saying this, that Vedam Brahmalpa Vishayam. Vedam is Brahmalpa Vishayam. Triganda Vishaya Ime. That there is actually three cantos. Kandam, that's where canto comes from. Three cantos in the Vedam also. Karmakandam, Upasana Kandam, Jnana Kandam. Three kandam. So, the Kandatrayam, it's called Triganda Vishaya Ime. But Vedam is actually, Vedam, the topic that is actually pointing at, the goal of Vedam is to point us towards Brahmalpa Vishayam. Brahmalpa Vishayam, about Brahman, about the soul. That is the topic of discussion in the Vedam. Vedam's goal is to educate us in this topic. Brahmam or Alma. Brahmam or Alma. That means that vastu which is present in all living entities as their very soul inside them, and and that same presence of that force in all living entities which is present in the whole creation as karma chaitanyam. What it means is, Jiva and Brahman is one. Jiva and Brahman is one. In this principle is Vedam established. You can't change it. That is how it is. That, that means, that living force which is present in all living entities, that living force which is present in all living entities. And that presence of that force that is present in the whole creation is one and the same. Brahman and Jiva is one and the same. So, this is what the Vedam is pointing out, but at the same time, it is not very straightforward spoken like that in the Vedam. And the reason for that is in the next line, you can see. Parokshavado hrishayo paroksham mamachapriyam. I keep it like that. That's what I like, Krishna is saying. Paroksham mamachapriyam. And rishis also have the same nature. Rishis also won't speak things straight. Parokshavado krishayam. Rishis also speak in an indirect way. And me too, Krishna says, I like it that way. Paroksham mamaja priyam. Now, this is what the difficulty. While we read Vedam, people are studying Vedam all over, isn't it? All kinds of people are reading, studying Vedam. And they are taking the literal meaning. And they are coming out with all kinds of interpretations about Vedam. So, from these words you can understand that the purpose, first of all, we should know the purpose of the Vedam. What is that? Vedam Brahmalpa Vishayam. Vedam has only one thing to teach us, to put us back into our original identity, who we are. At the moment we don't know who we are, isn't it? We got this body, and this body will last us some time. After that, what will happen? Nobody knows. But once you have realized who we are, then no more body after that. Is it not? So, Vedam's purpose is that, to get us back into our pure identity, who we are, which is Brahma. Vedam Brahma Atma Vishayam. That Brahma and Atma, that is the only topic of discussion, the Vedam. And then, Trikanda Vishaya Ime. In Vedam, it is spoken in three kandos, Karma Gandam, Upasana Gandam or Bhakti Gandam and Jnana Gandam. In three cantos it is spoken. But the ultimate goal is this Jnanam to come into us of knowing who we are, our original identity. Then, it is spoken in such a way that it is not clear. That this Vedam, the difficulty with Vedam is this, that the topic of this, that means this force which is present in all of us, Brahman, in the form of Antaryami inside us, and which is present inside as Jiva, and which is present everywhere as Brahman, who is present there, it is one. They are not many. It is one force that is present in the whole creation, and is that same force which is present inside as Antaryami or Jiva as well. It's all one. And that is the message of the Vedam. And that is Jiva Chaitanyam and Karma Chaitanyam, they are one. They are not different. So, and that is what... So, the problem is that with our gross vision, Stula Drishti, when you look at that, what do you find in the Vedam? A lot of karmam spoken, very detailed explanations of conducting various yagam, yajnam, sacrifices, everything there. And a lot of different process of upasanas also. Like you can see, even if you take Srimad Bhagavatam, how many different kinds of upasanas are spoken there? Narayana Kavacham is there. Payovratam is there. Aditi Devi, Pumsavanam is spoken. Like this, so many different, like this in every Puranam, if you look, you will find various kinds of processes spoken there. And equally in the same way, lot of sacrifices also. So generally if you read Vedam, that's the impression you will get from there. Lots of sacrifices and lots of these rituals to purify us. Right? And you may think that this is what Vedam is. But only those who have got educated from a qualified person, who have studied Shastram properly, only then you will understand the ultimate goal of all this Vedic literature is only one thing, to get us back into our pure identity, who we are. So you can see how it affects us. We have come to spiritual life for what? To realize the self, who we are, isn't it? That's the ultimate goal. But instead what happens?
Because Vedam talks about all these different kinds of sacrifices and yajnam and yagam and homam and all that, people get attracted to all that, and all that becomes a spiritual life at the end. That's why it becomes a very attractive business later. Because in Vedam everything is there. So people start saying, oh, you should do like this, and somebody becomes a guru and another becomes a disciple straight away. And the guru starts telling disciple, you should do these things, and then that develops into another form. How complex it is, isn't it? And Krishna says, it will be like that because to get the message in the Vedam, it is not easy. Parochavado krishayam, parochanjamama priyam. This is where you need to take the shelter of the realized souls. Only they know what is the message of the Vedam is. Great personalities, great acharyas, great devotees, realized souls, they know the purpose of the Vedam. If you don't follow them, you will get misled by all the other aspects of the Vedam. That's right. So, because this Atma Tattvam, the knowledge of the self also, is spoken in the Vedam in a very indirect way. Paroksha. The complexity of the thing is so complex it is, that parokshavado krishayaha. Rishis have spoken in a paroksham, indirect way. And Krishna is saying, parokshanja mama priyam. I also like it that way. You know why that is. The reason for that is, Krishna's point is this. If only a qualified person who is genuinely and seriously looking for self-realization should study the Vedam. Otherwise, any Tom, Dick and Harry starts studying Vedam, he will have his own interpretation from that. And he will mislead the whole world with that. That means, instead of Vedic conclusions, his conclusions will come from that. And this is the greatest problem today in the world. Remember, Prabhupada mentioned that in the Bhagavad Gita's commentary itself, in the introduction, he says this. That to understand the Vedic conclusions, you have to follow the acharyas. Acharyopasanam. Why? Because they know the purpose of the Vedam. They have trained and learned in the proper way. Otherwise, it can all lead into... We have even made that word very simplified. It word acharya. Everybody is an acharya now. So many acharyas all over. So, Krishna's point is this. That those who have understood properly in the proper traditions, who have been trained and educated, only they have the capacity to understand this properly. Parochavado krishaya parochancha mama priyam. Because even this knowledge of the self is spoken in the Vedam in a very indirect way. Not so explicitly. Because otherwise people will abuse it. So Krishna says, I like it that way. Let it remain as paroksham in that way. So, because those who are not qualified for that, they should not take to teaching Vedam or studying Vedam. Those who are not qualified for that. Because what will happen is, if everything is spoken explicitly like that, those who are not qualified for that, they will give up their karma in this world. They are not ready for it. But they will stop their work in this world and look for the easy way. They will abuse the Vedam, which people do. Is it not? Those who are meant to, who have got karma vasana inside strongly, instead of getting the prarabdham through that body, they will pick up from the Vedam some things and start using as a Vedam for a livelihood and abuse their whole life in this world, abuse others in that way. It can go in that direction. And that is the reason why it says, Anathikari. Anathikari means those who are not qualified for that should not touch the Vedam. Should not touch the Vedam. Because if you give up karma and you are not allowed to do so, because you have got karma vasana inside and you give up karma, what will happen? You will bring all those vasanas into your spiritual life and you will make a meal of the whole thing. What do they say? They say, if your vasanas are so strong inside, say you had a good desire for building a 5-star hotel in this world, what will happen is, you'll come to spiritual life and you'll build a 5-star ashram. Vasana has not gone inside. That vasana won't go easily like that. You can't kill the vasana easily. Vasana is there. Initially the vasana was for building a good home or a good hotel. But that 5-star concept has not gone from inside. The ashram will become a 5-star ashram. See the danger? So therefore, he's saying here, one who is not qualified for, that means sufficient vairagyam has not come. And sufficient knowledge is not there. And if that person comes and puts his hands on the Vedam, he will make a meal of it. He'll make a meal of that. And therefore, what will happen to him? He will degrade further. He will go down. Instead of going up, he will go down. Because a person who is not qualified for that, he is doing it. Qualified for that, he is doing that. So therefore he will... So, and not only that, what else has happened? He, in the normal course, he would have done the proper karmam in this world according to his vasana. He would have been engaged. But he has given up that. So that is a degradation for him. And so therefore, for this reason only, this knowledge of the self is spoken in a very subtle way in the Vedic literature. That's why it's very baffling for many people, completely bewildered by this Vedic literature. People are bewildered. Everything is there in that, and everybody is reading that. Now, particularly these days, because printing is very easy. Plenty of facility, cheap printing, publishing, so many books written by so many people. Actually, Vedic culture existed when all this was not there. When all the books and published, you would have thought normally that this Vedic culture would have survived better with all the facilities what we have got today. But instead the other way it is. When all these things were not there, this understanding was stronger in the society. They lived that life. So, even the Atmavidya, knowledge of the self is spoken in the Vedam, not explicitly, in a very indirect way, in a very subtle way. And that is why we have difficulty with Bhagavad Gita, difficulty with Bhagavadam, difficulty with Upanishads, all because of this. All because of this. People read Bhagavad Gita and there are still lots of questions, isn't it, coming from there. What is this is correct, that's correct. Here Krishna says like this, here Krishna says in a different way. So which one? All kinds of questions. People like everything simplified for them. Is it not? So therefore Krishna is saying, don't simplify. When you become qualified, you will get it. You will understand it. But when you are not qualified, don't get involved in that. That's not your topic. So you can see here. That's what Krishna is saying in the next verse, you see. Shabda brahmam sudurbodham pranendriyam anomayam anandabaram gambhiram durvigahyam samudraval. Next verse. Shabda brahmam sudurbodham. Shabda brahmam sudurbodham. And then prana indriya manomayam anandabaram gambhiram durvigahyam samudravat. He's saying there. This Shabdam Brahmam, by its very nature, is difficult to understand. Difficult to understand. It's not easy to understand. And Deshagala Paricheda, that means Pranendriyam Anomayam. And its meanings are very, very confidential. Things are spoken there. And it is very difficult to understand that in the sense, it's like the ocean. It's very deep and it's very wide, Krishna says there. And in meaning also, it is very difficult to understand and there is no end to it. There is no end to it. Because Vedic literature, it's a huge literary creation, this Vedic literature, isn't it? Say for example, you take Rigvedam. For example, take the Rigvedam. Rigvedam has got, again, Samhita, Mandram, Brahmanam, Aranyakam, Upanishad, all these differences are coming in the Rigvedam itself. So, Samhita means all the mantras in the Rigvedam. Rigveda Samhita means generally refers to all the mantras in the Rigvedam. So, the collection of all the mantras is called,
the root of the Vedam, the root of the Vedam itself. So these mantras in the Rigvedam, it can be commented, connecting it with the karmam in there, and that is what is called Brahmanam. In the Vedam generally there are four, one Vedam if you take, there is Mantram, Brahmanam, Aranyakam, Upanishad. So the root is the mantram. And that mantram, when it is connected with the karmam in this world, it is called Brahmanam. They are called Brahmanam. When it is connected with Upasana, and when you comment on that way, it is called Upasana Kandam. Upasana Kandam. Or otherwise it's called Aranyakam. When it is switched into the Upasana direction. And when the same mantram is connected with the knowledge of the self, that is called Upanishad. Mantram is the foundation, Rigveda mantram, or what is called Samhita, Rigveda Samhita. So when they study, the Brahmanas, when they are taught these Vedam in their student days, they are taught the Samhita first. It is this Samhita that is connected with the karmam, is what it later on turned into the karmakandam. And the same mantra, when it is connected with the knowledge side of the Vedam, it is called Upanishads. It is not. And when it is connected with the, this is all depending on the commentary of the Vedam. There are great acharyas who commented on all the different parts of this Vedam. So when it is connected with the tatvajnanam or knowledge of the self, their commentary is called Upanishads. Upanishads have come out like that. In this way we have mantram, brahmanam, aranyakam, upanishad. These four parts in the one Vedam, Rigvedam, it is there. So in the same way it exists in all the other Vedams also. That means karma upasana, karmam, upasana, jnanam. Three things. Karmam, jnanam, bhakti. So the same samhita or mantram in the Vedam, interpreted according to karmam, upasana and jnanam, accordingly came Brahmanam, Aranyakam, Upanishad. That's all we can say about that. That's why taking so long to study Vedam properly, and to those who study a lot but properly understood everything, there are very few, is it not? So so in this way, Rigveda Samhita, Rigveda Brahmanam, Aranyakam, Upanishad. So when you combine all these things together, then it becomes Rigveda. Generally we call it as Rigveda, isn't it? So so if you have studied all of these, only then you can say that you have studied Rigveda. It's quite a lot. Only if you have studied all these things, that means the mantra first, and then its connection with the karmam side, bhakti side and jnanam side. Karmam, karmakandam, upasanakandam, jnanakandam. When you have studied all of them, that means brahmanam, aranyakam, upanishad. When you have studied all of them, not just studying and memorizing it, no, realization of all that. Only then you can say that you have studied Rigvedam. You have studied Rigvedam. Similarly, and even this one Vedam in this way, you can't study with your whole lifetime. That's how extend, that's how elaborate that is, right? So, it is so deep, that whole thing itself is so deep. And this is one Vedam, and similarly you have Yajurvedam. And then this Yajurvedam has got two branches, Krishna Yajurvedam and Shukla Yajurvedam. There is a reason how that has happened like that. And in each Yajurvedam, it has got its own Brahmanam, Aranyakam, Upanishad, in that way. Then we have got Samavedam and Atharvana Vedam. And in this way, the whole science of Vedam, Vedic literature itself is like a huge ocean. That's what he's saying there. Shabda Brahma Sudurbhodam
Pranendriyamanomayam
Anandaparam
Gambhiram Durvigrahyam Samudraval Durvigrahyam Samudraval.
Then Sudurbodham Pranendriyamanomayam is saying there. Then the meaning or the message that is coming from this is so subtle, he is saying there, that we say it is Shabda Brahmam.
Shabda Brahmam Sudurbodham.
Sudurbodham. You will see one thing. In Ekadasha Skandam particularly, Krishna says this, that he does not give any importance to the mind. If something is coming from the mind, Krishna says, better not to take it seriously. Prana Indriya Manomayam, he says, senses, mind, pranan, if it is mixed with all this, it's impure. That is how Vedic knowledge is. Anything that is connected with the senses, is connected with the mind and the pranan, it's considered to be impure. Pranan and mind is prana indriya manomayam. How many times Krishna has repeated this? Look at Ekadasham, you will find yourself. When he started talking to Uddhava first time, first thing what he said to Uddhava, Uddhava, don't talk to me from your mind, he said. I don't want to hear anything. Because it is total nonsense what you would be speaking then. To such an extent he wants to keep the mind out of the spiritual life. Seventh chapter, if you look, he says this. He started the conversation like this to Uddhava. He says that seventh verse, 7-7, 11-7-7. Yadidam manasam vacham chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi mayamanomayam. Nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi mayamanomayam. Nothing to do with the mind and the senses. Whatever that is coming from the mind is coming from maya. Mayamayam, manomayam it is. So, he starts this yadidam manasa vacha chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi mayamanomayam. So you can see spiritual life is beyond our mind and intelligence. Mind and intelligence cannot be of much help there. Nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi mayamanomayam yadidam manaso vacha chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi. Whatever you are speaking from your mind, whatever you have heard, whatever you have seen, these are all senses, isn't it? Whatever that knowledge you are acquiring through senses, whatever that is inside you in your mind, chaturbhyam shravanadibhi, all of that is nashwaram grihyamanam cha. Know that they are all in the domain of maya. They are all within the periphery of maya, within inside maya, and therefore it cannot be taken seriously. This is how he starts the conversation with Uddhava. How many times, if you go through Ekadasham, you will find Krishna has repeated that. And at the end, in the 28th chapter, you look, what does Krishna say about that? Same thing. He again stresses, don't fall into the mind. Don't get victimized by the mind. Because mind is not trustworthy. Mind is not real. Look at that 28th chapter, what Krishna says there. He says there that fourth one, kim badram kim abhadram va dvaidasya avastuna kiyal vajodidam tad anurdam manasadhyatam evacha. Kim badram kim abhadram va, whatever authority you are bringing in, Krishna says, kim badram kim abhadram va dvaidasya avastuna kiyal, it is coming from dvaidam. You are in the dvaidam mode. You are talking about spiritual life in the dvaidam mode. Avastuna kiyal vajodidam tad anurdam. Everything is lie, Krishna is saying there. From the spiritual platform, all these things are all considered to be no value. Vajodidam tad anurdam. Why? Anything, if it is touched by the mind, it's impure. That's the way it is.
So in the 7th when he began the conversation, he started that. In the 28th when he is closing, again he is saying the same thing to Uddhava. I can't accept anything like that. And that way you will find, and that also comes here in the sense that Krishna is saying there that this subtle nature of the Vedic knowledge is such that if you try to contaminate that with Shabda Brahmam Sudurbhodam Pranindriyam Anomayam Anandamaryam Gambhiram Durvigahyam Samudraval, it is present like an ocean, he is saying here. That understanding that subtle message from the Vedam is difficult, and therefore we have to follow the process. We have to follow the process. You can see Shabdam itself, if you take Shabdam, sound, has got Parapashandi Madhyama Vaikari, the four stages, isn't it? And that Shabda Brahmam itself is like an ocean. It's like an ocean.
Mayoba Brahmhidam Bhumna Brahmana Ananda Shaktina Bhutheshu Ghosha Rubena Biseshu Urneva Lakshyate.
Vedam, Krishna is saying, Vedam is Brahmam. Brahma Tattvam. That's what is spoken in the Vedam. And the Adhishtanam of that is me. When Krishna says Adhishtanam is me, means the Atma, Andaryami inside, Atma who is present, that Chaitanyam, living force in everyone, that is the Adhishtanam, that is the basis of all that. And he says here, Bhuteshu Ghosha Rubena Biseshu Urneva Lakshyate. Then, this Vedam, its most subtle form is Pranavam, Om. The letter Om or Nadam as it is called. And there is a loads of different explanations for that also, in that way. So, the first spandanam, the first vibration of that is pranavam. And they call it as pranaspandanam. Pranavam is om, that is the pranaspandanam. And it is from that om, the creation has happened. Creation has happened. In the Bhagavad Gita, you can see the 8th chapter, Akshara Brahma Yogam. So, anyway, anahada dhvani, there is in the same thing in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram in one way, Brahma Sutram in another way, it is spoken. So anahada dhvani. Anahada dhvani means that if we close our both ears, and the mind is fully concentrated inside, then we can hear this spandanam from inside, the presence, the dhvani. From inside. That means you have to be so much in ekagrata or concentration there. And if in meditation, if you are able to go deep inside, this anahada dhvani or the movement of the pranan inside, pranava dhvani, you can hear from inside after closing both the ears. And that is what they call it as the most subtle form of the sound, which is called the para. And para is also called anahada dhvani. Anahada dhvani. There is also in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, you will find they talk about this Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, and there is this anahata chakram. So, that it is from there that this anahada dhvani comes from there. So anahata dhvani means that which we can never hear. Never hear. And only when there is proper purity inside, jnana spurti, at that time one can hear. And strictly speaking, it is not the complete para, but it is somewhat come down from that para state. And it is from pranavam comes para pashandi madhima vaikari. Through these four states, the sound comes through that. Ultimately, in the form of Shabda Brahmam, and in the form of Vedam, and ultimately through the Rishis, it has come to us in the way it is today. So it has become more explicit in that way. So, but the Adhisthanam or the Adharam of all these things is Brahmam. So Brahmam, which is Krishna. So Adhisthanam or the basis is Krishna. And Krishna has revealed this into this world. And the essence or the meaning of all these things, what is spoken in this Vedam and the Vedic literature, the essence of all that, in reality, only Krishna knows. Only Krishna knows. When we say that, do not go into the form straight away. That's a mistake. Because when we say only Krishna knows, Krishna is speaking as though he is the Brahman. Andaryami Paramatma. All those things you have to factor into that. And then identifying himself as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, Krishna is speaking this. So it is in that concept, all this is very too complex, this topic, what is spoken here.
So therefore he is saying here, Krishna himself says at the end, Kim vidhatte, kim achashte, kim anudya vikalpaye, ityasya hrudayam loke, nanyo madhveda kaschana.
Krishna is saying there that what is spoken in the karma kandam, what is spoken in the upasana kandam or bhakti kandam, or what is spoken in the jnana kandam, what is spoken in the jnana kandam, and where Vedam all comes to an end, except me, nobody else knows. Krishna is saying this. Except me, Krishna is saying like this. He says, Kim vidate, kim achashte, kim anyu, kim anyu uddivikalpaye, ityasya hrudayam loke, nanyo mad veda kaschana. Except me, nobody else knows. In other words, only in the source they know this. The source, yeah, that's what Krishna is talking about. When he says, he's not telling us like this, that look, I know, you don't know. Not in that way. What Krishna is saying to us, where all this knowledge is coming from, Brahman, that source, only in the source there is the full knowledge of all these things. By the time it comes to us, it gets filtered and filtered and filtered, and so many ways it changes, and it keeps on changing in all the stages. So, for our benefit, Krishna is saying here, for our benefit, Krishna has given a little bit of that through Uddhava, a taste of that in Ekadasha. That's what he's saying there. I'm giving you a little bit taste of this through Uddhava to everybody. To everybody. Because Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, isn't it, that you are qualified to hear this, therefore I am giving it to you. And that is why he says in the last words, you look, Mam vidhatte abhidhatte mam vigalpyo mohyade tvaham edavan sarva vedartham shabdamastaya mam vidam maya matam anudhyande padishidhya prasidati. Krishna says that Mam vidhate, in the yajnam, in the sacrifices, that means in the karmagandam, I am glorified through karmagandam, as all yajnam is meant for me. Yajnam sarupam. Yajnam. So, yajnam is also not rejected. It is also Krishna's another manifestations. And that means in karmagandam, Krishna is spoken as Yajna Sarubi. All Yajnam ultimately is to for Krishna's pleasure. Means to please Brahman. Please see? Brahman. Similarly, in Upasana Kandam, the form worship comes. You see? Without knowing all the basics, if you simply take a form and start saying, this is, I got everything, it doesn't mean anything. Only in the Upasana Kandam, where a particular form is worshipped, Krishna is saying here, Mam vidate, abhidate mam. He says, Krishna is worshipped in the Upasana Kandam, in the Devada form. All Devada worship has come from Upasana Kandam. So out of the three Kandam, Karma Kandam, Upasana Kandam, Jnana Kandam. Karmagandam, Upasana Kandam, Jnana Kandam. In Karmagandam, it's all sacrifices, Yajnam. Krishna is saying there, as Yajna Swarupam, the absolute truth is worship in the Yajna Karmagandam as Yajna Swarupam, through Yajnam. In the Upasana Kandam, in the form he is worshipped, in Devada forms. Different Devada, what we worship in different forms, is all coming from this Upasana Kandam. And in the Jnana Kandam, which is pure knowledge of the self, Krishna is addressed there as that, no more differences anywhere, purely on the platform of the soul, a realization of the self. That means to show to us that one who is present in the whole creation is Krishna, nothing but, except him, nothing else exists here. So you can see how the rishi's mind is working, how they are analyzing things in a different way. So it is in that Jnana Kandam, Veda Bhavam all goes away. All Veda Bhavam goes away, which is present even in the Upasana Kandam and in the Karma Kandam. Veda Bhavam is there. That Veda Bhavam all goes away, what is present in the Karma Kandam and in the Upasana Kandam, once it comes into the Jnana Kandam. Once it comes to the Jnana Kandam. So, and saying this, Krishna is saying there that in that Jnana Kandam, what you will realize at that stage is that all the Veda Bhavam has gone. You know what Veda Bhavam means? Veda Bhavam means that you have certain Veda Buddhi working in us, isn't it? I'll say that I'm attached to this form. Somebody else says, I'm not attached to that form, I'm attached to this form. That's Veda Bhavam. Veda Bhavam. Why? Because in the Upasana Kandam, this Devada is present there. A form is present there. And there you will have naturally differences in there. Similarly, in Yajnam also, even though Yajna Swarupi is Krishna, but certain Yajnam you will get attracted, Veda Buddhi is there. But Veda Buddhi will only go when it comes into the Jnana Kandam. So, Jnana Kandam ends in the knowledge, ends of the absolute truth, Satta, Chitta, Anandam. There, and Vedam is keeping all these three cantos together, and in the Karma Kandam, Krishna is presented to us as Yajna Swarupi. Yajnam is his form. Yajnam is Krishna's form. In Upasana Bhakti Kandam, in the Devada form, he is worshipped. And in the Jnana Kandam, he is nothing but pure Satchitta Anandam, Satchidanandam. So, and it is at that time, that Satchidanandam is the same vastu that is inside us also, as we now call it as Andaryami, and which is a reflection of that is Jiva. So the moment we start realizing that Brahman, which is realized through the Jnana Kandam, is our very soul inside us, and that finishes the whole self-realization process. After that, there is nothing to be known, anything else. So all our karma in this world is to elevate us towards that goal. Towards that goal. Karma on its own has no goal at all. But instead, jnanam or self-realization is the ultimate goal. This is the essence of that chapter. This is the essence of that chapter. So we will, this is just a very simple summary of message in that chapter. That's all I can say. The chapter is too deep a subject for people who are very learned, can only explain that chapter completely. It is such a detailed subject that is. But in essence, you can say what Krishna is trying to tell us, that when we do not know the fundamentals in the Vedic literature, when you study any Vedic literature, it can cause difficulties. Proper understanding won't come. And then what will happen is we'll start thinking this is everything, what you have read. What you have read is not everything. There is a lot of fundamental things involved in that. And that basic understanding Krishna is trying to explain in this chapter to us. Where this is all coming from? And what is the source behind it? How do you discriminate things? A little bit of understanding Krishna has given in this chapter. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.